Welcome to Magical Storybook English Nanny Bedtime Stories, a collection of ancient fairy tales and folklore from around the world, adapted and read by Rhianna Meehan. Today's story is a tale from Baghdad. The Caliph and the Storks. One fine day in the great city of Baghdad, the Caliph, who was the powerful ruler of the city, was sitting on his sofa, smoking his pipe, when his prime minister, the vizier, came in, looking worried. "Why are you so sad?" asked the Caliph. "My lord," replied the vizier, "I am sad because in the marketplace below, there's a merchant who is selling fine wares, but I have no money to buy any." The Caliph was very fond of his vizier, so he asked for the merchant to be brought to the palace, and soon a ragged-looking fellow appeared before him, carrying a chest filled with rings, goblets, and fine combs. The Caliph bought the vizier the gifts that he wanted, but just as the merchant was about to leave, he noticed a small box hidden away inside the chest. "What's in there?" he asked. The merchant took out the box and opened it. It was filled to the top with black herbs, and lying on the top of these herbs was a parchment with strange writing on it. They all tried to read what it said, but none of them could. "I bought it from an old man who I met on the streets of Mecca," said the merchant. "I have no idea what it is or any interest in it. Would you like it? I'll sell it to you for one gold coin." The Caliph agreed to the price, and the merchant handed over the box and went on his way. Later that day, when the vizier returned to the palace, he saw that the Caliph was still examining the parchment. "My lord, maybe you should send for Selim the Wise," said the vizier. "He has knowledge of all languages, and he lives nearby. Maybe he can interpret the words for you." So the learned Selim was brought to the palace, where he spent some time studying the parchment. "Well, what does it say?" asked the Caliph impatiently. "It is Latin, my lord," answered Selim. "It says that whoever eats the herbs while saying the word mutabor will be transformed into any animal they desire and be able to speak its language." Selim paused for a moment and then continued reading. "When they wish to return to their human form, they must bow to the east 3 times towards the holy city of Mecca while saying mutabor once more." With these words, the Caliph's eyes grew wide and he went to grab the box. "But listen closely," warned Selim, snatching it from his reach. "While you are transformed, you must not laugh, not even for a second, for if you do, you will instantly forget the magic word to reverse the spell, and you will be trapped as a beast for the rest of your life." The Caliph nodded and rewarded Selim with a fine coat before beckoning a servant to show him out. Then he turned to the vizier and grinned. "Tomorrow we shall turn ourselves into animals, then sit among the people of Baghdad and listen to what they are saying about us." So the next morning, before anyone was awake, the two met at the palace pond, where the Caliph found the vizier gazing at a stork wading through the water. It appeared to be chatting to a second stork hovering above them. "These long-legged fellows are having a fine conversation," said the vizier when he saw the Caliph approaching. "Why don't we become storks?" Well, the Caliph liked that idea and pulled the box of herbs from his waistcoat. But before they ate any, they agreed that they should remind themselves of the magic word that would transform them back. "We must bow to the east 3 times, said the Caliph, "and say the word mutabor." "Yes," said the vizier, "but we must not laugh while transformed, or we shall be trapped to storks forever." After they had practiced a few times, they each put a handful of herbs in their mouth and said the magic word. All at once their beards disappeared and feathers began to sprout from their bodies. Their necks grew long and slender, and their legs shriveled into thin, long poles. The caliph lifted a foot to scratch his head and was startled to find a long beak where his face used to be. Once the transformation was complete, the two men just looked at each other in astonishment. "You have a beautiful bill," smiled the caliph after a long silence. "I thank you most humbly," answered the vizier, doing his best not to laugh. "And if I may be permitted to say so, your highness looks even more handsome as a stork than as a caliph." Then they noticed the hovering stork swoop down to the pond and land next to his companion. They started chatting, and so the caliph and the vizier went over to join them.
"Good morning, Lady Longlegs," they heard the first one say. "You are early to breakfast today. Would you like a frog? Or perhaps an egg?"
"No, thank you, dear Clatterbeak," replied the second. "I have been told that I must perform a dance for my father's guests later on, and so I have come here to practice." Then she stood on one leg and spread out her wings gracefully. The caliph and the vizier burst out laughing, scaring the dancer and her friend away. Then they suddenly remembered that they were forbidden to laugh while under the spell, and stared at each other in horror. "Oh dear me," panicked the caliph. "I've had enough of being a stork for one day. Quick, let's turn ourselves back. Oh, what was the magic word?" "For the life of me, I can't remember it," said the vizier. And as hard as they tried, the magic word had vanished from their minds. At last, in despair, the two unhappy storks wandered off through the fields, trying to work out what to do next. They agreed that they could not return to the palace in this humiliating state, and so they were forced to spend their days watching their people from the rooftops of the city. They found a little comfort when they saw the citizens mourning them. However, this did not last long, as a few days later, a splendid procession of fine-looking people marched through the streets to the sound of drums and flutes playing. "What could they be celebrating?" sighed the caliph. "Have they forgotten about us already?" They watched with great surprise as a man dressed in scarlet and gold robes trotted out of the palace on a fine horse. He was greeted by cheers from the crowd. "Hail Mirza, Lord of Baghdad," they shouted as he passed by. The caliph and the vizier flew down to get a closer look. The caliph immediately recognized the new ruler as the son of his worst enemy.
"That is Mirza, the son of the magician Kashnur," he cried out. "He once swore revenge on me after an argument and is certainly behind this spell. I cannot allow them to take Baghdad. Come, we must go to Mecca and pray for help."
The two storks flew over the roof of the palace and towards the eastern sky. But as they weren't used to flying, they soon became tired and so stopped to rest in the ruins of an old castle. They were exploring the deserted rooms when they heard an eerie crying sound coming from the chamber at the end of a dark passageway. The caliph walked slowly towards the sound, despite the vizier begging him not to, and peered through the open door. There, on the floor, illuminated by the moonlight, sat a screech owl, sobbing and muttering to itself. Tears were pouring from its large round eyes and soaking its feathers. When it looked up and saw the storks in the doorway, it gave a joyful shriek.
"Welcome, storks," it cried, wiping the tears away with its wing. "It was foretold to me that a stork would bring me great happiness. Have you come to rescue me?"
When the caliph had got over his surprise, he replied,
It seems that you are suffering as we are. But when you hear our story, you will understand we're not able to help you." The owl listened with interest as the caliph and the vizier told their story. And when they had finished, the owl said, "I know the magician Kashnur of who you speak, for he is the one who enchanted me too. My name is Lusa, daughter of the King of India. One day Kashnur went to my father and asked for my hand in marriage for his son Mirza. When my father refused, Kashnur put some herbs in my tea and turned me into an owl. Then he brought me here, where I've been forced to live alone for many months. He told me that the spell would only be broken if someone asked me to marry them. But who would ever ask an owl to be their wife?" She stopped speaking and wiped away the fresh tears that had begun to fall. "How do we free ourselves from this trick?" said the vizier. Then Lusa suddenly remembered something. "Kashnur comes here once a month to feast with his friends. They are all magicians, and I often listen to their conversations about what tricks they have played on people since they last met. They are due to come tonight. Perhaps they will talk about you and mention the magic word that'll break the spell." "Oh, dearest princess," exclaimed the caliph, "you have given us hope. Please show us the place where they gather." Lusa took them to a grand hall where the table was laid out for a feast. And there they hid, waiting for Kashnur to arrive. They had not been there long when in walked the magician, escorting his seven guests. The caliph saw that one of them was the merchant who had sold him the magic herbs. He and Kashnur sat down together, and before long were loudly congratulating each other on the trick that they had played on the caliph and the vizier. "What word did you give them to break the spell?" laughed Kashnur. "A very hard Latin one," sneered his companion. "Mutabo!" Well, the storks wasted no time at all. They flew from their hiding place and out into the fields, where they bowed to the east three times and shouted, "Mutabo!" In an instant, the caliph and the vizier were transformed back to their human form. They fell into each other's arms and cried with relief. The caliph then turned to the owl and said, "Saviour of my life, I am eternally thankful for what you have done. No other has ever shown me such love and loyalty. Please marry me." A second later, Lusa's feathers fell away, and there stood a princess. "It was foretold that a stork would bring me my greatest happiness," she laughed, "and it has turned out to be true. I will marry you." She felt more tears roll down her cheeks, but this time they were happy ones. Then the three of them began the long journey back to Baghdad. The people were shocked to see the caliph and the vizier alive and well, but they were also overjoyed that they had returned. They had not liked Mirza at all, as he had been a cruel, selfish leader. Kashnur and the merchant were arrested at once and given the choice of either eating the enchanted herbs or being thrown into prison. They chose the herbs and so lived out the rest of their days as storks in the palace gardens. The caliph and the princess were married, and they lived a long and happy life together. When their children grew older, the caliph would take great delight in prancing around the room, impersonating the vizier as a stork, while the vizier himself would just sit back and smile, and never was he tempted by the fine wares of a merchant again.